And Lord, thank you that we have access through Jesus Christ to bathe in your beauty, to be swallowed up in your being, to be found in you, to be filled with you, to know you beyond knowledge until your fullness fills us, the height, the width, the breadth, the depth, the length, all the fullness. Lord, beyond all we can think of praying, you have gathered us into your own side, into your own self. And we are so thankful for this access and this nearness and this oneness, this inness that we have because of Jesus, because you gave him, Father. That now we cannot just be found in him, but we can know him and be filled with him, Lord. So we pray that you would just do that by your Spirit as we seek you together as your family in the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit would minister Jesus to us. Father, that we would bathe in you and be washed and renewed and filled and separated, not just from the old, but into you, our new life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are going to go back to some of the verses we had previously just soaked in and fellowshipped in and meditated on in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm going to title this meditation of our hearts together, the name being Come and See. Come and See. And it's literally a quote from a certain portion of the scriptures we're fixing to look at. But I won't share where that is until we get there, so it will be more impactful. But come and see. Excuse me, I've got to blow my nose here. Come and see. And let's go to the scriptures where that glassy sea, the sea of glass around the throne is found. That's chapter 4, verses 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Let's just stop and just stay with that verse for a while. The first point being that there's two things that you see in this image, this imagery that is given in the book of Revelation in this verse, and that is you see this sea of glass, incredibly beautiful, I'm sure, sea of glass, but then also in the midst of this sea of glass is the throne, and we know that it's the throne of the Lamb, but this sea of glass is in proximity, it's in approach, it's in the realm of the throne of the Lamb. And I felt in my meditations the Holy Spirit kind of descending upon that part of the imagery, that this throne is, this glassy sea is connected to the throne. It's for those who are drawing nigh to the throne, to the Lamb, to the enthroned Lamb. And the impression I kept feeling in regards to the throne was that this you know, in imagery you see a throne, which is a divine, kingly, royal type piece of furniture that is there so that whoever's reigning, who's ever in leadership, or whatever governmental terminology, you know, we want to place on that image, whomever is in the government, whoever is leading, whoever is king, sits on that piece of furniture, therefore it's a piece of furniture for the king. But the sense that I was pondering before the Lord in regards to this throne that is in the midst of this glassy sea is that it's the place where the Lamb is allowed to reign, is embraced and received as king, as government, as the one who is Lord and life, not just occasionally, not just temporarily, not just when the Spirit moves and we're in a good place to respond and everything's feeling right and going our way, but that this throne is for those who have taken him into themselves in such a manner that he is head and Lord and life and governs by his nature within and overrides other governments, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he rules above our flesh, our soul, our mind, all the things that would like to pull us and be our lords. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he rules and reigns from this place of being embraced and received, this throne within us. And so this glassy sea is there, possibly, and you have to consider these things before the Lord, because I'm not coming as a teacher who knows, but as a sister who's meditating with you in the Word of God. But a thought to consider is that those who are immersing and approaching and found around this glassy sea, washing in this water, like the laver we had previously discussed, are the ones who are wanting to come unto the Lamb in this way. They are seeking to enthrone the Lamb within them. They are seeking to enthrone the Lamb within them. They're not trying to get out of the earth and away from their problems and clean from their issues and their lack and their failures and their sinful lives separate from, you know, the purpose in the sacred realm up above all of that, in the heavens, in heavenly places in Christ. The purpose up here isn't getting out of the earth. That's the church, the called out ones, the ecclesiastes. That word that is church in the Greek is interpreted called out ones. The called out ones are still down in the earth dealing with all those things that have to do with them in their condition and their situations. But up here, this is where the ones have come up out of the earth. They've fleed that Babylon, if you will, and they're coming unto the Lamb. Their whole focus and purpose isn't getting out from, but coming unto him. And so, though they be beasts, though they certainly have issues and the need of removing that old, defiled, unrenewed mind and ways that aren't him, and being conformed to his image, being transformed into his likeness, letting Christ be formed into in them as their life, you know. Yes, that's all. I'm very, very true. I would assume, you know, deeply believe, for it's true of me. But their heart, their focus is self-forgetting that and just beholding the Lamb and pressing into the Lamb, and every bit of water, every washing is to enthrone him within, is to approach that throne in a manner that he is receiving his bride, one after his kind. They're coming for an image change. They're immersing in his image. You know, if the scriptures are like the water of the word, for in the Bible we hear that, you know, I think it's in Ephesians 5, that we are to wash in the waters of the word of God. We're not just reading the word, but there's a washing in the waters of the word, and that, for example, John 5:39 says, this word, these scriptures, these are they, Jesus said, that testify of me. And so the word is bearing the image of Christ. It's not bearing our reflection. It's not something that's we're seeing ourselves in. You know, the laver in the tabernacle was made by women's mirrors. They took the bronze of those mirrors and they melted it down and created this huge laver, filled it with water for the priests to wash in when they approached the ministry of the Lord himself, you know, the things of God. And eventually the high priest went all the way into the presence of God, into the very throne room where he dwelt. But that laver was made of women's mirrors where they used to look at themselves. They used to behold their own face. They would examine themselves for imperfections and impurities and lack. You know, that was the purpose of that bronze, you know, polished bronze, so they could see a reflection in it back in the day, right? But those women, they cast their mirrors away from themselves and gave it to build up the tabernacle, a place for God. And they said, you know, hey, melt my mirror down. I want to melt that thing that I used to use to look at myself and examine my imperfections. And I would rather that you melt it down into a big old laver filled with water so we could see the face of God. We could wash in His image. We could be immersed in His being. We could have an image change, not from my imperfections to me being perfect, not to clean me up, but to exchange my image for His likeness, to see His face and be changed into that same image in the power of the Holy Spirit from glory to glory, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's verse 18 or so. But I want to see Him. I want to see His reflection. When I wash in the waters that fill that laver that's made of melted mirrors, I want to see Jesus. And I want to wash away my reflection and my image and my good, my bad, just all of me, and be separated from the first birth. And I want to be separated from that old creation, whether I was a beast or a priest. I want it to not be not I anymore. I want the Lamb to be enthroned in me. I want His image to shine out of me. I want the Spirit to bring forth the Son, and I want Him to rise and take the throne in my heart. I want Him to ascend and take the throne and be my life. I want Him to shine, His reflection, His face. I want that face to shine out of my heart like light shining out of a dark place. I want Jesus to be found in me, and I'm going to wash in these waters to see Him and to be changed into His image, for it to be Christ, not me. And so there's a heart there that's approaching the throne with this kind of a hunger for an image change by immersion into another person. It's really love. It's really love in action, because, wow, you know, there's a passion there that, though I'm a beast, you know, these guys, even in the midst of elders who would have more religious ceremonial purpose to come to the laver and prepare themselves to draw nigh to God, you know, that's very scriptural from the basis of what's defined in the Old Testament type and shadow of the tabernacle that Moses had built. You know, that would be, well, these guys are the ones to truly wash and get ready to draw nigh to God and do His service or be near. But it's these beasts that seem to supersede the elders. And they came in, most likely in our minds and eyes, worse condition. But like those women who are part of building the laver in the tabernacle of old, in the Old Testament, they were willing to melt down in their hearts, to melt down their beauty, their ugly, their good, their bad, their image, their being, and say, not I. You know what? I don't want to see me. I don't want to work on me. I don't want to perfect me for God. I don't want to see me when I look in the Word. I don't want to see me when I look in His face. I want to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I want to be changed from glory to glory into that same image by the Spirit of God. And they let that need to be part of what's seen, part of the pursuit, just melt away. Melt on the altar of their heart, where only the Lamb should lay here on my motives. Only the Lamb should cause my heart to draw nigh. Not me getting better, not me looking better, not me changed so I'm more holy and sanctified. No, me melted away at the cross with Jesus. Me crucified and removed with Christ through His death. Me buried and put out of sight in His burial, so that now it's Christ that shines out of me. And those beasts had that. It says in verse 6 of chapter 4, where we just read, that they were full of eyes, full of eyes. It's always defining those beasts as full of eyes when you find them in the book of Revelation or in the book of Ezekiel. When these living creatures or beasts, they're defined both ways, when they appear in the Word, they appear full of eyes. And those eyes are such a defining feature of their being because they have chosen to behold the Lamb and not themselves. It's their strongest feature because it's their power in that sense of overcoming, of entering in. It's to forget about themselves, to behold Him, to be separated from themselves, to immerse in Him, to not look at their reflection, to reflect Him instead. It's the defining feature of their being. And we see them. And as they do it, you see in verse 8, chapter 4 of Revelation here, it says, the four living creatures, each of them six wings about them, but they were full of eyes within. Now here we take a step deeper in and we find that they're not just full of eyes on their wings, you know, in external parts of their being, but they are full of eyes within. Interesting wording, isn't that? Do you see that there? Chapter 4, verse 8. And they were full of eyes within. And they rested not day nor night, because they're crying out, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is, who was and is to come. They're full of eyes within. This is, once again, they're wanting to not just worship Him from afar and look at this throne on the glassy sea in the distant, near but distant proximity to them and say, you're worthy to reign on your throne, but separate from us. No, they're full of eyes within, and their pursuit of the Lamb, I believe, is that He would be enthroned within them. Now here we have a more sharp division of the Word of Truth, because this application of the water of the Word will wash the inward parts of these beasts. It will wash the inward parts where there's a dividing of soul from spirit, joint from marrow, motive and intent. The water is going in, the Word is going in, like a two-edged sword. And those eyes are beginning to see light divided from darkness, soul divided from spirit. What is me and what is the Lamb? In those inward parts, our motives, our thoughts, our intents, our meditations. Paul, David prayed, Lord, let my meditations be acceptable in thy sight. Let the Lamb be enthroned in my inward parts. See that it is your Son in me and not I. That is in the inward chambers, alive, always there, always ignited, always alive. And so full of eyes within, eyes that are crying out, holy is the Lamb, holy is the Lord, holy is the one that is, but is also to come inside of me as my life. And so isn't it interesting that when we go through times where we look within and we see motives and intents and meditations and thoughts and all intentions that are defiled, that are us, that are carnal, that are fleshly, our souls are out of whack, our thought lives are all over the place, carnal. A stench in the nostrils of God, not the Son, not Jesus in us. And we can be challenged to, try to clean up those thoughts. Start thinking better thoughts. Clean up those motives. Start trying to, by the strength of your will, do better. Act more like Jesus. Lay your body on the altar and give yourself. You know, I don't know. But we want to look at ourselves, even within, and start improving our image, cleaning our reflection, trying to make us better. But these beasts look within, and there's no sound in their voice. There's no thought in their heart of themselves, even when they look within. Now, that's more challenging. They think of the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Separated unto God is the Lamb. this is the Son of the Father's love, who is in the Father's bosom, who was and ever shall be, all that is enthroned and all that makes the difference. And he's going to come in me, and he will be enthroned in this motive, in these intents, in my thoughts. He is the one that shall be enthroned within me. I see Jesus is going to take the throne of this inward part. I see that motive was made for the Lamb to fill with his nature. That my inward parts, like David said, possess my inward parts. For you desire truth in the inward parts, he prayed in Psalm 51. You desire truth in the inward parts. David knew. He knew God's heart. So do these beasts. Oh my goodness, I look within and I see a place for the Lamb to govern me. Something that was crafted to be inhabited by the Son. Father, bring him forth. Come, Lord Jesus. It's reminiscent of the last verses and chapters of the book of Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride cry, come. You hear it in these beasts, who is and was and is to come. Come quickly, come within me. I wash for your coming, not for my cleanliness. I wash for your enthronement, not for my perfection. I wash for your increase and your image, not me being better, but me being swallowed up of you. In your death and through your life, Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God on the throne of my heart. It's a worship, not a cleaning. It's a communion, not a work. And so these beasts are truly swallowed up of one thing, seeing him and enthroning him. Yes, on a throne in the midst of this glassy sea, but truly a reflection of the throne that is within their hearts, where he governs within. Now I'd like us to turn to just a chapter down to chapter 6. And in chapter 5, there's an incredible thing. We're all, I'm sure, very familiar with this chapter 5. But for the sake of time, we're not going to dig deeply into those scriptures, although it would be a wonderful segue to this next portion of our sharing. But in chapter 5, we see that it is this Lamb, and there's this little book that is sealed, and no one's worthy to open it, and the six seals, no one's worthy, heaven's crying, and this elders and saints are pouring forth like incense. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. Worthy is the Lamb that can open the seals. And we find in chapter 6 that the Lamb is opening the seals to this little book. And with each opening of each seal, horrible things are released in the earth. Things that cannot be overcome except by the Lamb, the slain Lamb enthroned in the hearts of men and women. Things that can never be overcome by human flesh or religious flesh or good intentions or passionate willpower and our love for God. Things that only the enthroned Lamb within the temple of our being can overcome. And these beasts who were crying out for this enthronement around that glassy sea, who were bearing that image without and within, who were drawing nigh to God in that kind of faith, in chapter 5, you know, cried out with the elders. In chapters 5, verse 9 and 10, they sang a song. This song that they sang was a new song. You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, because you have redeemed us to God by your blood and made us a kingdom of priests. You slain Lamb made us, beasts and elders, a kingdom of priests who reign on the earth. Not just in the heavens, not just in our scripture searching time, not just in our ministry events, but you slain Lamb on the throne of our hearts. You've made us priests. In other places, kings and priests, it says. Kings. That's those who reign by Jesus Christ within them on the earth, in earth as it is in heaven, in the things we go through in our daily challenging earth lives. They say, you have made us kings and priests in the earth, because Lamb that was slain, you're enthroned in our hearts, and you rule and you reign within us. And by you and you alone, Lamb that was slain, can we overcome the things that are released in this earth. So they understand. They understand what it means for these seals to be opened. And they understand what it means to overcome the trial and tribulation that will be released upon all flesh when these seals are opened. They know it's going to be only by the Lamb within. The Lamb within. And so what I felt the Holy Spirit pointed out to me when I looked into chapter 6 were very specific things in regards to the beasts in this process. And let's look. Chapter 6. Verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of its seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. But I also heard one of the four living creatures saying, come. But if you look in the notes on my Bible, it says not just the word come, but that it's come and see. So when the Lamb opens the seal and a thunder starts releasing, one of the four living creatures, instead of saying, oh boy, this is going to be bad, or oh wow, glad I'm not down there for that, what comes out of his mouth is, come and see. All right, and let's go to the next seal. That's verse 3 in chapter 6. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Again, all this horrible stuff is being released in the earth. And this living creature says, hey, come here and watch this. Come here and watch what's fixing to happen down there. Come and see. All right, let's go to the third seal. That's verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, hey, come and see. And again, horrible things being released in the earth. But here's this living creature saying, let's watch this. Let's behold what's fixing to manifest down in the earth. What's going to manifest down in the earth. Let's behold this. All right, and let's look to the next, the fourth seal. And when, this is verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. Come and see. And this is when a pale horse and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed after him, and power was given over him, the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Okay, these are horrible tribulations unleashed. But all four beasts now, immediately when the seals were opened, come and see. It's as if they're gathering as witnesses that have experienced this enthronement of the Lamb in real ways, and they're looking down. Just like when Stephen was martyred and the Son of Man stood at the right hand of God on the majesty on high and stood up and looked at Stephen and saw in the earth a man being stoned, tribulation and trial unleashed upon this man in the earth. But what he was beholding was his image in that man. He saw the Lamb. The same one that was enthroned at the right hand of majesty on high. The same one that was enthroned in the midst of that glassy sea. The same one that was enthroned in the heavenly throne. That same slaughtered lamb that we find in Revelation chapter 5. The Son of Man beheld him, that lamb himself, enthroned and manifesting in Stephen. He stood up. I could imagine, in, I think it's Acts chapter 9 when this story happens, I could imagine the Son of Man saying, Father, come and see. Holy Spirit, come and see. In earth as it is in heaven, my image, my nature, our kind, our spirit, our life is manifesting. It's overcoming. He's saying, Father, forgive them. He's releasing our spirit, our nature. It's us. It's the Lamb is enthroned in this one. And the kingdom has come in this one. Come and see. It's almost as if you get this feeling like they're stooping, they're peering, they're pressing and peering down, you know, really looking, you know. It's kind of the great cloud of witnesses you see in, you know, Hebrews 11, and they're being sawn asunder. They're not receiving. You can almost feel them on tiptoes, watching from heavenly places. Come and see the Lamb enthroned in these who live by the faith of the Son of God, who allow the Lamb to be their government and their life in the midst of these things in the earth. Come and see as it is in heaven. It is in, come and see. And this is what I felt. It's like we've been beholding for all of eternity, or for, you know, all these, we've been seeing the Lamb enthroned in the heavens. We've been seeing His beauty in heavenly places. We've been beholding Him on the glassy sea, in the Word, and in our spirits, and by the Holy Spirit. But now, He is manifesting in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. The throne that we've only seen in the heavenly places, we are seeing that throne in His bride. We are seeing His throne. We are seeing Him enthroned in these circumstances when only the Lamb within her could overcome. Only the Lamb within her could overcome these things. And they are just, come and see, come and see. Come and see the Lamb is unveiled in this people. Come and see Christ rule and reign in the earth. Here He is making the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. I mean, this is what the heavens cried out in Revelation chapter 10 when the two witnesses were martyred, when they were slaughtered, and it wasn't just them dying a martyr's death. It was the Lamb, the King of Kings, manifesting, selflessly giving Himself unto death through them. And the heavens cry out, the kingdoms of this earth are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Come and see. Come and see what's happening down here. Well, you know, to the seven churches, it's, oh my gosh, come and see the horrors. This is awful. Like, I can't handle this. It's true, we can't. This is a nightmare. This is, the word apocalypse, the word tribulation, has terribly negative connotations only because it's only the way our flesh sees it. Oh, it's bad things for me. It's hard times for me. It's that which I can't overcome. And oh my gosh, get me out of this nightmare, these horrible, you know, horror movie circumstances. But the word apocalypse means unveiling. It means that the Lamb is being unveiled in His people. It's a good word. Tribulation has to do with travailing to bring forth the Son. It's a good thing. Come and see, the Son is coming forth unto manifestation. The kingdoms are coming in earth as it is. His kingdom is coming in earth as it is in heaven. He's manifesting. He's reigning down there where it could only be Jesus, or we'd crumble. God is in her. She shall not be moved. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in His people. Come and see. So what's the end of washing? What's the end of forgetting about ourselves? What's the end of just immersing ourselves in Him? What's the end of, come Lord Jesus, come? What's the end of not just looking at all of our inward lack, but seeing places where He can possess the inward parts and crying out holy? What is the end of that? Then He rules and reigns in us. He gets one after His kind. We're no longer the church just, whoa, 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 me, hard, 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 help. We're bearing His image and His likeness, giving Him one after His kind, where even the heavens rejoice. This is the victory. These are the great battles, and these are the great victories scattered throughout the book of Revelation. This is it. You know, I always thought of these seals being opened as, oh, wow, just skip at chapter 6. I don't even want to think about it. But there's a golden thread woven within that chapter of, behold the Lamb in his people, overcoming kings and priests, ruling and reigning in their circumstances, where it would have to be the Son of the Father's love coming forth. It would have to be the Lamb enthroned. Glory to God. And that's it. Glory to God. You know, I don't think that the people in the earth are going to see that. I think what people see in the earth is Jesus a malefactor, Jesus a blasphemer, Jesus a liar and a traitor and a false prophet and someone who deceived us and someone who said he was the Son of God, but he's just a carpenter's son that's a heretic and a cult leader. And he's an off-scourging of the earth, and get me away from him. I hate him. Crucify him. That's what it looks like in the earth. But in heaven, this is my son. This is my son. This is my son manifesting his eternal spirit, unveiled for who he is on Calvary. He's showing forth the true glory. Do you see him? No, we don't. We don't see him at all. Well, the earth won't see him. The earth will kill him. Down here you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the earth. I am your life, and I will give myself and release my nature and cause you to be more than a conqueror, but an overcomer through the Lamb who lays his life down in the midst of these things. Glory to God through Jesus Christ in the churches, through Jesus Christ in his bride. Father, we thank you. We thank you for calling us into true oneness, where we let the Lamb be the one in us. It's not just a doctrine of it. It's the manifestation of one, and that one is your slaughtered Lamb, your given Son, the desiring of your darling of your heart. Lord, thank you that these things come to us not to overcome us, but to cause Christ to overcome through us. And though being conquered, we are more than conquerors. We are a living sacrifice who manifest the glory of God in earth, though none understand down here. Oh, what you receive, Father, of your Son through us. And oh, what you receive, Jesus, of one after your kind. Lord, we ask that these things would be more than teaching, more than scripture, more than anything, that it would soak into our very core until your kingdom comes and the Lamb is enthroned. Have your way. The Spirit and the bride cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. Quickly come. Come, holy, holy, holy. Take your throne in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.